Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Nun in Shabbos. So we're about a third of the way through Shabbos. It's amazing, rather. You just blink and all of a sudden we're already not halfway through, but a third of the way through. Today's page is 50, Shabbos is 156 blot. So it's kind of, it moves quicker than I expected, a lot quicker. We just a little bit to go in terms of finishing up yesterday's daf, and then we begin daf nun. We're on Memtes Amud Beis. The Gemara takes a macro look at Shabbos overall, and the last thing we dealt with yesterday is the most basic question of where do the malachas come from. There are 39 malachas. When we get to daf ayin beis, we're going to learn all 39 malachas. 40 minus 1 is the wording of the Mishnah. So where does the number 39 come from? So the Gemara offers a couple of suggestions. Well, the first suggestion of the Gemara yesterday was that if you take the number, look at a number of times it says either the word malacha, malachta, or malaches in the Torah, you're going to find that it's 39. But then the Gemara points out that there's got to be a little bit of bookkeeping, because not every time that the Torah says the word malacha does it mean actually work. It might refer to something else. The Gemara gave two examples yesterday, one in Parshas Vayeshev, the other one in Parshas, I believe it's Vayakel, where the Torah there says either Vayavo Abaisa Lasos Malachto, Yosef went back to the house to do his work. It could be that that work over there is not referring to work. It's referring to something else. The hamalacha haisa dayam. Could be that that word malacha over there doesn't mean work. It just simply means that the job is done. Or they finished, but doesn't necessarily mean work. So what you got to do in this formula of going through all 39 malachas of the Torah is that you got to subtract the ones that don't actually mean work. Okay, but the Gemara was no more specific than just that. So that's one suggestion of the Gemara. The other suggestion of the Gemara is Avodas HaMishkan, meaning what does it take to construct the Mishkan? Whatever it takes to construct the Mishkan, that's going to be a malacha. Now Rashi points out over here that you're going to find the Parsha of the Mishkan right next to the Parsha of Shabbos. So because of the juxtaposition of those two parshios, so the Torah is coming to teach us that whatever it takes to build the Mishkan is going to be a malacha vis-a-vis Shabbos. Okay, plain and simple. Tosfos, you can take a look at Tosfos over here. I didn't mention this Tosfos yesterday. He says that the first opinion that we just went over of the malacha, malachta, malaches, can't be that he's disagreeing with this opinion over here. Everyone has to take into account that what defines a malacha is what was used for the Mishkan, because even if you go with the count, the malacha count, right, theory, or the malacha count thesis, you still don't know which malachas they are. The only way you're going to know which malachas they are is by simply looking at what it took to build the Mishkan. Okay, this is where we were yesterday. Tanya, we are in the about 20 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Last word in the line. Kaman damer keneged avodas haMishkan. Detanya, we learned in a brisa in Chayavin. Ella al malacha shechayotze b'haitza b'mishkan. You're only going to be chayav on the malacha that was done in the Mishkan. For example, Haim Zaru, v'atem lo tizru. They had a plant, so therefore you're not allowed to plant on Shabbos. Haim Kitzru. Again, these are all the activities used to make the Mishkan. Haim Kitzru, so they had a harvest. V'atem lo tikzru, you don't harvest. Haim ha'alu es ha'karashim mekarkala agala. They took the beams from the ground and they put it up on the wagon. V'atem lo sachnisim rishus haram l'rishus yachid. You cannot transfer something from rishus haram to rishus yachid. Haim oridu es ha'karashim agala l'karka. They took the krashim off from the wagon to the ground. Atem lo sotzia mirushas yachla rishas rabim. So you're not allowed to do the malacha vatsa. Hey motzil meagala la agala. They moved a log from one wagon to the other wagon. Atem lo sotzia mirushas yachla rishas yachin. So therefore, you cannot transfer something from a rishas yachin to rishas yachin. Later, when we get to the discussion of Otsar, we're going to understand this better. Why did they ever have to transfer something from one wagon to another wagon? I'm going to gloss over that for now. We're going to come back to that later in the Masechta, somewhere in the late Sadis, 97, 98, somewhere around there. Anyway, the Gemara, on this last point, just quickly corrects. Rishus Yach, Rishus Yach, and Micah Ovid. What do you mean? Transferring something from one Rishus Yach to another? That's not a malacha. So Avayv Ravid, Amar Tavayv, Itamar Ravad, Ravav, Mirshus Yachl, Rishus Yachin, Derech Rishus Arabin. So the Gemara says, correct. that in of itself is not a malacha, but if I'm passing from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, and it goes over a Rishus HaRabim, so that in fact would be a malacha, that's a malacha of being what's called Moshit. And again, when we get later on the Masech, we'll talk about this in much more detail, much more length. Okay, that's the Adkan, meaning that's the end of the Gemara's macro discussion of where do the malachas come from. Obviously, the Gemara over here only gave a smattering of examples, meaning there are 39 of them. So in other words, we only went through five various examples of what is considered a malacha. It's also interesting, of the five examples that the Gemara gave, three of them are basically offshoots of Hotzah. Right? In other words, it's, you know, Zriya, Katsira, and then a whole series of examples of Hotzah. So, could be like we discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, why are we harping on the Malacha of Hotzah? So it could be that the Malacha of Hotzah needs fortification. It's a Malacha Grua, needs fortification. That's why the Braisa gave so many examples of Hotzah. Okay, back to the topic of Hatmana. Now, a number of you asked me this question in a number of different ways, and essentially this is going to be the Gemara's question right now. When I do Hatmana with wool, okay, wool's not most of Hevel, wool doesn't add heat, it just preserves heat, so you're allowed to do Hatmana with wool. Again, before Shabbos, not on Shabbos. Dry. So you take dry. That's right. That's very good. So you take the wool, you put it in a box, and then you take the pot, and you put the pot in the wool, and then you put the wool over the top, and that's great. And now you have a natural way of preserving the heat of whatever's inside the pot. And wonderful. And now, sometime over Shabbos, you'll have hot food. I don't know how hot it's going to be the next day, but you know, it'll be warm. Good. And so a number of you asked me, and the assumption going into this is that the wool's muksa. The wool's a raw material product. It's not a kli, and even though I'm using it on Shabbos, it's muksa. Okay. Is there any way that the wool cannot be muksa? Or, let me state the question a little bit better and a little bit clearer. Can I remove the muksa status from the wool? Now, on Shabbos itself, of course, the answer is no. Right? In other words, we have a general rule, we've said it a number of times, migudis katsei ben ashmashas, it's katsei l'kula yuma. Once something becomes muksa during the ben ashmashas period, it will remain muksa for the remainder of Shabbos. Okay, good, done. So that's the answer is unequivocally no. But before Shabbos, meaning can I say before Shabbos, this wool, I want the muksa status of this wool to be removed. So can I do that? And let's advance this question even one step further. By virtue of the fact that I'm using the wool, isn't that going to be enough to remove the muksa status? Meaning, aren't I clearly delineating, articulating that I want the wool for Shabbos? In other words, I'm using it for the purpose of Hatmana. Isn't that by itself going to be now a removal of the muksa status of the wool? So we'll start with the Gemara. Amar Rava, lo shanu lo shalot taman ben. So the discussion starts off with a statement of Rava, which is essentially just that. Meaning, because I'm using the wool for Hatmana, so that means now that I remove the muksa status from the wool. Okay. The statement of Rava in of itself is perfectly logical. Meaning that I could take any item before Shabbos and say, hey, I want this item. I want to use this item. And even though it may be a stone or it may be a piece of wool, it's a raw material, but you could certainly dedicate something for use on Shabbos. So over here, Rav is essentially saying, look, once you use it for Hatmana, you're dedicating it now for the use of Shabbos. Okay, that in of itself is wonderful. However, the problem with Rav is a simple reading of the Mishnah. Meaning, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that you can't use all of these items for Hatmana. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let's say that better. You can use all these items for Hatmana, but then the Mishnah says, but it's muksa. Right? Begize tzemer ve'ein metaltan osan. And the Mishnah says it's muksa. So how can we make the suggestion? Meaning, how are we going to learn the Mishnah? So Rashi, at this point, at this stage of the Gemara, Rashi says, so you know you're going to have to learn the Mishnah? You're going to have to segment the Mishnah. Meaning, the Mishnah, the way now we're going to read the Mishnah is, begize tzemer, that you could do Hatmana with begize tzemer, stop. And Ein Metalten Osan now is a new independent statement, meaning generically it's muksa. Okay? And then we're going to add it to the Mishnah. But if you use it for Hatmana, so then it's not muksa. That's how we're going to have to learn the Mishnah. It's not a smooth way of reading the Mishnah, but that's how we would support the statement of Rava. So Ezvei Amir Rabbanu Bar Yuma LaRava. So One of the rabbis challenged Rava. Interesting way of describing one of these rabbis. He's a Me'rabbanan Bar Yume. First day in the Beis Medrash. Okay? Normally, you do not open your mouth the first day in the Beis Medrash. Right? Human nature is that this is your first day on the job. You're quiet. You listen. You don't speak much. You certainly don't challenge. Okay, so I don't know what point the Gemara is trying to share with us that this is his first day on the job, first day in the Beis Medrash. So, but anyway, so Eisrei Ahu Me'rabban Rav Yuma LaRava Tomnim Begizit Tzemer Ve'em Atal Tzedosan Keitzu Do'osa No Telsa Kisra Ve'en No Flos. Now look, he says, maybe the way I read the Mishnah, by segmenting the two statements of the Mishnah, maybe that will work. But then keep reading on in the Mishnah. What are you going to do? The Mishnah says, how do I take the lid off the pot? So what I do is I take the lid off the pot, the wool falls off on its own, but it's clear from the Mishnah I can't push the wool to the side, meaning the wool's muksa. So how can you tell me the wool's not muksa when the Mishnah is clearly understanding that the wool is muksa? Okay, not a bad question for the first day on the job. First day in the Beis Medrash. Ella, Yidmar, Hachi, Yidmar. So the Gemara says, okay, what we're going to do now is we're going to review Rava's statement, and we're going to have to, I don't know if we're going to change the statement, or maybe this is another version of how Rava said it. Whatever the case is, new statement to Rava. If Rava said anything, this is what he said. Okay, so here now, it's just going to go one step further. Meaning now we're basically going to say that this wall, if I don't do anything, if I don't make any declaration, it's muksa, like our Mishnah says. But once I'm miyached, and miyached is really easy, I just simply point to it and I say, I'm dedicating this wool for use on Shabbos. I want to use the wool on Shabbos, so now the wool is no longer muksa. Okay, it's a simple act of what's called yichud. Yichud, machshava, the Gemara is going to throw around both terms over the course of today. Aval yichvam ladman metalton osan. It manami kiyasa ravin amarabiyakov, amarabiyasi, ben shol, amarabi, lo shanu elo sholo yichden ladmana. Aval yichden lahatmana. Another statement corroborating. Yes, all you have to do is be miyached. Ravina Amar now, Ravina is going to say, look, let's go back to the original statement of Rava. Ravina is going to defend the original statement of Rava. Rava originally said that once you use it, even though you're miyached, even though there was no specific declaration that this is going to be for Shabbos, usage is going to be enough. Okay? That's Rava's original statement. In of itself, it's fine. The problem was, what are you going to do with the Mishnah? Ravina says, I'll tell you what you'll do with the Mishnah. Omer b'shal heftek shanu. Our Mishnah is talking about specific type of wool. Wool of heftek. What's the heftek? So Rashi says, it's a big warehouse. Maracha, Rashi, it's the first short line on the page. Maracha gedola she'orchin u'moshivan l'haktsasan l'schalra. It's a warehouse where we're storing things in order to sell. So in other words, this wool in the warehouse is valuable. Why is it valuable? Because you want to sell it. And because you want to sell it, we'll call it, Rashi doesn't use these words, I'm assuming, we'll call it muksa machmas chisaron kis. Meaning it has a very special value to you, and so therefore it remains muksa. And Rashi describes the warehouse, the warehouse in Old French is called the tash. Okay. Maybe those of you who speak French can help me. And in this warehouse, they store clothing, they store wool, they store grasshoppers, a warehouse full of grasshoppers, okay, or salted meat. Anyway, the point, I don't know where the grasshoppers came from. So anyway, but the point being is that the wool of our Mishnah is special, it's valuable, and that's why the wool in our Mishnah does not lose its muksa status upon usage. But the wool in general, once you use it, that's it, it removes its muksa status. Tanya Namehach, the Gemara quotes a brisa that supports this as well. Gizit Semer shall heftek and metalta nosan. V'imitkinim balabais liyishtamish mehem metalta nosan. The brisa says very clearly that if it's Semer shall heftek, wool in the warehouse. So if I don't say anything and I don't do anything, it remains muksa over the course of Shabbos. However, if the Baal HaBayis is misakin, meaning he does an act that clearly demonstrates that he wants to use it over Shabbos, so then he can make it usable for Shabbos. Okay. And so now this begins the Gemara's discussion of, good, now that we discussed wool, we're going to basically now have a discussion of how do I remove muksa status from other raw materials. And so here now the Gemara begins from here until basically the end of today's Amud, today's Daf, I should say. How do you remove muksa status from raw materials? Yes.
When you designate something not to be a muksa for the next day, do you have to have in mind that you're going to use it for something?
Yes.
You have to have something in mind to use it. Can I just say, I don't want
to... Right. In other words, there has to be a specific purpose of why you're removing... In other words, muksa means it has no use for me, and a non-muksa item means it has a use for me.
Now, once you've done the use for it, and you finished...
No. Look, we're going to give a whole series of examples. You'll see over the course of the Gemara, the Gemara is going to talk about twigs and dirt, and again, non-kalim, where if as long as before Shabbos. Now, what exactly you have to do before Shabbos is going to be our subject to a debate, which we're going to see right now. But as long as you did the proper designation, it's not muksa over the course of Shabbos, and it remains not muksa over that whole Shabbos.
Is it for that purpose after that? Uh-huh. Back to Muslims.
I don't think so. Let's you see the examples, you'll see. Tana. Rabba Barbachana Kamed Rav. So the following Braisa was taught in front of Rav. Chariyo Shodekel. So now I'm gonna say the twigs, it could be that they're thicker. I would imagine they're thicker because as Gemara is gonna point out in a moment, in a need basis, it could be used as benches. It could double as benches. So maybe logs is a better way to describe it. Okay, either way. Shegadron le'etzim. Now, my original collection was for firewood. Okay, and obviously then it would be muksa. Meaning, so now I have wood in the house that I collected for firewood, it's muksa. V'nimach aleim le'yeshiva. But then I said to myself, yeah, you know what? We need some extra bench space, we need some extra chairs, you know what? Where people going to sit in them? Tzarech le'kasher. So the Tanakhama's opinion is, you got to tie it up before Shabbos, meaning the twigs, the branches, it's not kalim. So in order to remove the muksa status from them for Shabbos, you got to tie them up before Shabbos. So in other words, according to the Tanna Kamma, you need a masa. You need to do an act. It's not enough just simple verbal designation. You need to do an action according to the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omerin Tzarech Lekasher. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, you don't have to tie it up. A verbal designation is all you need. So Tanna Lavi, Huamala, Halachka, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Now, after teaching the Braisa, Machlokas, and normally if it's Yachid V'Rabim, Halacha K'Rabim, here the Ha'i says the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you don't need an action, you just simply need a verbal designation. Idmar Rav Amar Kosher, Shmuel Amar Choshev, Rav Asi Amar Yoshev, Afa Pishlo Kisher, Afa Pishlo Chishev. Then the Gemara quotes Amaraim, three opinions. Rav's opinion is you have to tie it up, Shmuel's opinion is you just simply need a verbal designation, and Rav Asi says you have to sit on him before Shabbos, even though you didn't tie it up, and even though you didn't have a verbal designation. Now, I understand two Jews and three opinions. But over here, the Gemara is going to make this point. It's strange. Meaning, we just learned the Braisa together, and the Braisa expressed two opinions. So now the Amoraim are coming in. Now, each Amora can fit into one opinion, but how did we come up with three Amoraim? Right? That's a little bit strange. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. Bishlama Rav Udama Katanakama. Look, I can align Rav with the Tanakama, who says you need to do a Maisa in order to remove the Muksa status. Ushmol Nami Udama Kermashim and Gamliel. And Shmuel holds like Ramashim and Gamliel, who says you don't need to do a Maisa. Good. Or a verbal designation will be enough. Ala Ravasi Dama, come on. So, but then we have the third opinion, which is Ravasi. And what did he say? Sit on the branches before Shabbos. And you don't need an action, and you don't need a verbal designation. Just a simple usage would be sufficient.
His comment goes along with Rav, except it's just an action. No, Rav is doing something else, but it's an action.
Right, but let me suggest. Your point is very good. Let me suggest that Rav's action is an action to the item itself. What Rav is just simply saying is, you sit on it. You don't have to move the item.
No, but you're doing something to it. You're sitting on it.
You're using it.
Showing that he's going to use it for the same.
All right. It's usage. Okay. It's not this.
For Shabbat, he says.
Okay. Your point's well taken, but apparently the Gemara is making some sort of distinction between acting on the item versus just simple usage. So Alamar Ravasi Damar, come on. So Damar ki Aitana. So the Gemara says we have a Tana. We have a Braisa that actually corroborates with Ravasi, or let's say it more historically correct, Rav Asi now will corroborate with this Braisa. The Braisa reads, Yotzin bepakorin uvitzipa bizman shetzavon. Okay, going out on Shabbos with pakorin and tzipa. Please don't worry, I don't know what those items are either. Rashi describes, there's some sort of bandages. Rashi says, pakorin pishtan, saruk shenotchen alamaka. I'm sorry, shenotchen alamaka. So flax, which is combed out, where you put it on the wound. So it's a kind of band-aid, or tzipa, like a gauze. Tzipa, tzemer menupas anitan alamaka. Or a wool bandage that you put on a wound. Okay. In general, I don't like wearing wool, even though I do so every day. But I can't imagine putting a wool bandage on a wound. Either way, the point being, the Braisa says that, now these are raw materials, meaning it's just flax or it's just wool. It's not a baguette. It's not made into a garment. So, but they need to be either dyed or dipped in oil. Now, why dyed and dipped in oil? So again, I turn back to Rashi, and Rashi explains. Bizman shetzavan b'shemen, galidaite delamaka kaimi, lanichan alaha b'shabis, delav lerefua ninu. So Rashi says, with the fact that we call them a bandage, it's a little bit misleading. The way Rashi describes it, it's not really a bandage, meaning it's a covering. It's a garment used to cover the wound. And it protects the wound. So in other words, it's not there to heal the wound, it's just there to protect the wound. And so why do I need the garment to be dyed, this tuft of wool or the linen to be dyed and to be dipped in oil? But, says Rashi, if I don't dye this little bandage, or if I don't dip it in oil, so it comes out now that it's not really serving its purpose of protecting the wound from the clothing, I can't really call it now part of your clothing, and essentially what you're doing on Shabbos is, you're carrying on Shabbos. Okay, and now, but let's make our point in the context of our Gemara. And I'm reading on in the Braisa. Lo tzavim v'lo karchem b'meshicha, en yotzin b'hem. V'im yatza b'hem sha'achas mi'ba'od yom, afa pish lo tzavim v'lo karchem b'meshicha, muta latzeis b'hem. And then it's the end of the Braisa that we're interested in. Because the end of the Braisa says that if before Shabbos, I do it. I would do what? I wear it on Shabbos without dyeing it, without dipping it in oil, as long as I have usage of it, that's it, it now becomes fine. So you see, it's the same like Rav Asi. Usage makes it acceptable. Now it's a little bit different, meaning we're really talking about two different halachas. Here we're talking about the halacha of giving something the status of a malbush, as opposed to just simply an item that you're carrying. Over here we're talking about removing the muksa status from the item. But either way, though, the idea, the kernel of the idea is that usage gives it a certain status going into Shabbos.
So is Rav Asi really saying it's almost like by accident that you did it beforehand, and that's why where the other ones were, Rav is saying you're designated?
Well, again, it's a question of what is going to remove muksa status. According to Rav, you need to actually manipulate the item. According to Shmuel, just a simple verbal designation. And now this third opinion of Rav Asi, which is corroborated by the Braisa, is usage, just as long as you use the item before Shabbos. Right, the straw on the bread, on the bed. Right, I know we get these fancy beds now, but back in the good old days, what the beds were is basically a bed of straw, and you lie down on the straw. Now, the straw going into Shabbos is muksa. It's a raw material, it's a raw product. So, lo yinan in a biado. So now, when you lie down on the straw, so you can't move it around with your hand, but what you can do is you can lie down on the straw. Meaning, you can move muksa with other body parts, you can't with your hand pick up the muksa and move the muksa directly. So to lie down on the straw in of itself is fine, even though the straw is muksa. That's what we call tiltum and atzad. But to move it with your hand, that you can't do. Aval. However, if the straw was animal feed, right? So in other words, after sleeping on the bed, the next morning you get up and you can give it to your animal. Or if there was a sheet on the straw before Shabbos, which as Rashi explains means what? Means that before Shabbos, it doesn't mean that you just simply put a sheet over. But in other words, but you lie down on the sheet. So in other words, you used it before Shabbos, so then it removes the muksa status from the item. So again, it speaks to the idea of Rav Asi, that usage removes the muksa status. Shmami nam.
But you designate anyway. If you lay down on it, you designate that it's not muksa.
That's not, no. In other words, the Gemara is assuming that this is not verbal designation, it's its own separate category. It's not verbal designation, it's usage. Good. So now what we've done is we've spent a lot of time supporting and defending Rav Asi's position of usage. Shmuel says the verbal designation is enough. And then what we really have not done yet is we haven't really talked about Rav's position, which is an actual maisa, an actual manipulation of the item itself. So umantan de palagalad Roshem and Gamliel, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, dechi also Rav Dimi Amar Zira Amar Rabbi Chanina pam achas halach Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. The Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva lamakam echad umatzachari shodeko shegarjum l'shem eitzim, and there were branches, twigs, logs. Let's say logs that were collected before Shabbos. The original collection was for the purposes of firewood, which means, of course, that these logs are moksa. The Amar lahem l'talmidav. And he says to his students, go and just simply make a verbal designation so that we can sit on these logs tomorrow. So now, it's funny, think about what we're trying to do now. We're trying to explain the position of Rav, Tanakama, that you need not a verbal designation, but you need a maisa. And this story does not seem to support that, because this story says that this Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, before Shabbos, in order to change these logs from firewood to benches, he says verbal designation, kedesh neshe v'lam amacha. So how are we getting out from this story that you need a maisa? So we got to read on. V'lo yadana ibeisa mishtava ibeisa avalhava. And I don't know what was the issue. It was a chasna. It was a beisa avel. Meaning, as Rashi explains, and Tosfos also says the same shot as well. I don't understand. Normally, Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva requires a maisa, a physical manipulation of the item in order to remove the muksa status. And meanwhile, over here, he's giving a heter for a verbal designation. Oh, you know what it must be? It must be that this case was a unique case. Either it was a wedding, it was a beis ha'avel, right? How either one of those can take place on Shabbos, you know, we'll try to figure out another time. But maybe Sheva Brachas we're talking about. And anyway, but it was a Beis HaMishta, it was a Beis HaAvel. In other words, there was a special heter in this case because it was such a large crowd. But normally the default position of Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva is that you need a physical manipulation, you need a Maisa. So, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. Normally, you need to tie it up. You need a physical manipulation, a maisa. Okay, so one example now we've discussed over the past 10-15 minutes is wood. Taking the muksa status off of wood. And now, next. Amar Yehuda Machnes Adam Alei Kupaso Afar. How about dirt? Bring dirt into your house before Shabbos and remove the muksa status from dirt. No problem. Now, why in the world do you need dirt in your house on Shabbos? So Rashi gives a couple of examples. Rashi writes, Machnis malei kupaso offer. It's right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Lechasus botsoa verok. Umeara offer beveso laaretz venot lo tam lechol tzarchav. So let's say there's a little bit of excrement that finds its way into your house. Now, we learned earlier that you can remove the excrement from your house. You don't have to keep it in your house. But I guess it's just a little bit. You'll sprinkle some dirt over it. Or someone spits in your house. You want to cover that as well. So you'll sprinkle some dirt on it. Right? For those of you who golf, I don't. But in other words, you know, after you make a divot, so then you sprinkle some earth on it. So, okay, not that you could do either one of those on Shabbos, but okay. But in other words, you sprinkle a little bit of dirt on top of it. And the fact that you brought the dirt into your house before Shabbos now removes the muksa status from dirt. Otherwise, of course, dirt is muksa. It's muksa machmas gufo. It's intrinsically muksa. It's not a kli. But because you brought it in, you remove the muksa status. So darish marzucha mishmei de marzucha rabba v'hu shiyiche lo karen zavis. One qualification. It's not that you just simply brought dirt into your house, but rather you have to designate a corner of the house in order to do so. Why? Rashi says, davikamuchan v'omeid lekach. Because now basically that's similar to verbal designation. Meaning by designating a corner, you're announcing, you're proclaiming, I need this for tomorrow. But if I just bring it in before Shabbos and I just spread it all over the ground, you can't call that now, I'm preparing that for tomorrow. You're just spreading some extra dirt on the ground going into Shabbos. Right. You think about the floors that they had in their houses. All right, it's unbelievable. Just give me a moment. Now, this goes in within whose opinion? Meaning, remember, your choices are Maisa, physical manipulation, Machshava, verbal designation, or usage. I don't know how usage is going to come into play over here. Right, dude? You got to use it. You got to cover it once. All right, usage is going to be a little bit strange, but... All right. In other words, Tanakama or Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara assumes, well, it's got to be going like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Deikar Rabbanan Hamri bina Maisa. Well, according to the Chachamim, you do need a Maisa, and over here you did no Maisa. So Amalu Rapapa, Afilu Tam Rabbanan. That's not fair. Maybe this regarding dirt, maybe the Chachamim would agree. Because Adkan Lokam Rabbanan to bina Maisa Lamida Davar Avida Be Maisa Avamida Delobar Miivda Be Maisa Lo. Yeah, dirt, you could argue this dirt is different because there is no maisa to be done with dirt, as opposed to the twigs, where if I'm going to sit down on these twigs, I got to tie them up. So there is a maisa to be done with the twigs, but with the dirt, there's no maisa to really talk about. So it could be that the Chachamim would acquiesce to the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that a verbal designation for dirt is all you need, since basically that's all you can do anyway. Nema kitanai. Perhaps the Gemara suggests this is a machlokas tanayim. B'chol chafetz akelin chutz mikli kesef begartikon. You want to clean your dishes on Shabbos. So, as we of course know, no hot water. Okay, that's going to be an issue. Not an issue, it's aser. And if the hot water was made before Shabbos, that would be fine. Okay. But they had certain types of detergents, certain types of cleansing agents. So, you can... The Braitha says, use basically whatever detergent you want in order to clean your dishes, except when it comes to silver and gartikon. Now, silver, I know what silver is. Gartikon, Rashi tries to help me understand it. It's a chemical. What kind of chemical it is. Rashi uses the word alum. Okay, whatever the case is. It's a certain type of chemical. Anyway, why not? So Rashi goes on to explain. Rashi is three lines from the bottom. Kimin afer shagalda b'chavish al yayin v'korin lo alum v'hu ikir tikun kli kasef v'gorer oso. This is a very harsh chemical to the silver. It actually rubs the silver smooth. And if you're rubbing something smooth, you're just violating a malach on Shabbos. Sha kasef rach, silver is a very soft metal. And by smoothing out the silver, you now violate the av malacha of memachek. So, generally speaking, to wash your dishes on Shabbos using a cleansing agent, that's fine. Chemicals are fine, but not silver and gartikon. So, what that would mean, of course, is that if I want to use other chemicals, netter, natron, chol, or sand, so that would be fine. Vehatanya netter v'chol aser. And I can show you now another brisa where the brisa says, no, you can't use netter, you can't use chol. So now, what the Gemara is suggesting, it is advancing, is that this must be the same machlokas that we've seen earlier in terms of how to remove muktzah status from item. Meaning that, because netter and chol are raw materials, it's not a kli, and so therefore it has the muktzah status. And it does not, and the muktzah status does not get removed. So, And the only way to remove a muksa status, according to the Tanakhama, is a maisa. And because there's no maisa that you could do with netter and chol before Shabbos, so therefore you can't remove the muksa status. That's what the Gemara now is suggesting as an explanation in terms of why one brisa says that you can use chemicals to clean your dishes, and the next brisa says you cannot use chemicals. So my love, the hakamiflagi. So the Gemara says so. Marsa v'bina maisa, marsa v'lobina maisa. So the Gemara now makes this suggestion that's all about muksa. The Gemara says, "Lo, dekulei amar lo bina maisa." Now, let's go back to what we suggested earlier. If there's no maisa to be done with the item, like dirt, like these chemicals, like these cleansing chemicals, so then you don't need to do a maisa. And a simple machshava would be enough. What's at issue over here? A totally different issue. Harav Yehuda damar davashin miskaven asar, Harav Shimon damar davashin miskaven mutter. Well, look. When I take silver and I use this gartikon, that's inevitable. That will smooth down the silver. That's what we call a psikresha. And even according to Rabbi Shimon, you can't do that. But using other cleansing chemicals, which may smooth the metal down, so now we're back to the classic machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. I'm not intending to smooth. Rabbi Yehuda would say, Davar Sheinu Miskaven is aser. Rabbi Shimon would say, Davar Sheinu Miskaven is mutter. It's not inevitable, but still, we have the classic machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, it's an interesting way to explain the machlokas, but, b'mayu kimta laha, desherik Rabbi Shimon, ema seifa, of alu yichol pehem sa'aro. Well, the Braisa goes on to say that if I want to take these cleansing chemicals, and instead of, let's say, not cleaning the dishes, but let's say cleaning my face, or my hair, so the Braisa goes on to say, you can't do that. V'i Rabbi Shimon, Mishrei Kashare. Now Rabbi Shimon would allow you to take these chemicals and to rub them in your hair on Shabbos. Now there's a chance that your hair may fall out, but that's certainly not your intent. You certainly don't want your hair to fall out. It's a davar she'eino miskaven, it should be mutter. So to assign the Braisa like Rabbi Shimon, if the Braisa would have stopped at the dishes, we would have been fine. But then the Braisa goes on to say, but you can't wash your hair with these chemicals on Shabbos. According to Rabbi Shimon, why not? In fact, we know, Rabbi Shimon say it's okay, we're on the top of the next Talmud, Nun Amud Beis, Nazir, Chofef, Umefasfes, Avolo Sarek. A Nazir, who is not allowed to cut his hair, and by cutting his hair we mean removing his hair. So Nazir is allowed to rub chemicals into his hair, and
phosphate.
Huh?
Is that where phosphate comes from?
Menafates is a gentle brushing of the hair, but not sorek. So, right, with a fine comb, to comb your hair with a fine comb, the Nazir is not allowed to do that. That will for sure remove his hair, and that you're not allowed to do. But the chemicals and the soft brush, where it's only a possibility that there's hair going to be removed, Rabbi Shimon would say it's fine for the Nazir. Remember, we've talked about this before. The concept of Davar She'eino Miskaven is not limited to Shabbos. It's true, L'chol HaTorah Kulo, that there's this concept of Davar She'eino Miskaven. So here, Rabbi Shimon would say to the Nazir, a soft brush, rubbing some chemicals in your hair, that's fine, that's not a problem whatsoever. The hair may come out, but I maintain Davar She'eino Miskaven is mutter. So on Shabbos, the Gemara assumes the same thing to be true. That if all I'm doing on Shabbos is just rubbing some chemicals, some cleansing agents into my hair, that would be fine according to Rabbi Shimon. So Elahavaha Rabbi Yehuda, so the Gemara says, okay, let's go back to the two brisas, let's make another suggestion. Again, let me review. One brisa says that you're allowed to take chemicals and rub them into your dishes to clean your dishes on Shabbos. The other brisa says you're not allowed to. How do we resolve the discrepancy between the two brisas? Havah Rabbi Yehuda hi utrei tanai aliba d'Rav Yehuda. Hai tana aliba d'Rav Yehuda savar garer v'hai tana aliba d'Rav Yehuda savar lo garer. So the Gemara says is that, okay, both of them are Rav Yehuda, and it's just a question of whether or not these chemicals do in fact smooth down the metal. Meaning, it seems to be, I mean, this is what the Gemara seems to be saying, it's a machlokas in Metzias. Does it in fact smooth down the utensil, or does it not smooth down the utensil? So, b'mayu kimta k'Rav Yehuda, I may say, v'av apanev yadav v'raglav mutter. So the Gemara says, okay, but then read on in the Braisa, because the Braisa then goes on to say that on Shabbos, you could take any one of these cleansing agents, these chemicals, and rub them onto your hands, onto your feet, and onto your face. Now, You tell me, is there such a thing as a face without hair? As I speak to a room full of people who most are clean shaven. So the Gemara assumes that your face, of course the face has hair. So Hama Avit Sayar, and now aren't you engaging, according to Rav Yehuda, in a forbidden practice which is known as possible hair removal? And remember, if the Bryce is going like Rav Yehuda, all you need is possible hair removal and it's already going to be Aser. So Ibai Sema Bekatan, Ibai Sema Beisha, Ibai Sema Bestris. And the Gemara says, well, maybe the Bryce is talking about people who don't have facial hair. A woman, a child, a eunuch. Take people who don't have facial hair. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda, Afra Levinta Share. Okay, more on the topic of cleaning with chemicals. What other chemicals can you use to ground up bricks? No problem. I'm Rav Yosef Kaspa Diasmin. Share. Sesame with a little bit of jasmine. Perfect. I'm Rav Afra Pilpale Share. Ground pepper. Okay. I know it's good as a spice. It's good as a cleansing agent. It says the Gemara. Yes, it is. I'm Rav Sheshes Barda Share, and Rav Yosef says the Barda to wash your hands. That's fine. Now my Barda. Okay, good. What is that? I'm Rav Yosef Tilsay. Tilsay Alo, Tilsay Asa, Tilsay Sigle. Okay, so it is. It's a composite. It's a compound of aloe, myrtle, and violets. Rav Yosef says, look, as far as I'm concerned, as long as it's not over 50% aloe, I think it's fine to use such a cleansing agent to wash your hands, feet, and face with on Shabbos. Bo minei mirav shesh. That's good. Okay, so the Gemara now has taken us on a little bit of a detour regarding now cleaning your dishes and your face, and your hands, and your feet on Shabbos. And essentially, assuming we're like Rabbi Shimon, which is in fact the halacha, as long as you're for sure not going to be smoothing down the surface of your kli, like in the case of silver and this chemical known as gartikon, it would be fine on Shabbos. That would not be a problem. To wash your hands, feet, and face would be fine on Shabbos. To rub the chemicals in your hair would also be fine, according to Rabbi Shimon and Shabbos, as long as it for sure does not remove hair on Shabbos, so that would be fine as well. Water in your hair, that's going to be a different issue. Meaning water in your hair is going to be schita. So that has its own set of problems, but we're not talking about water, we're talking about just simply rubbing chemicals.
What about fine comb?
And a fine comb, the sounds like from the Gemara, that would be elsewhere on Shabbos. Right?
By Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda?
Huh?
You go by Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon?
Oh, we know. In Davar Shein Miskaven, we go like Rabbi Shimon. And that's everybody, even the Rambam. By Melacha Shein Tzrich Lagufa, as I described earlier, so that most Rishonim say like Rabbi Shimon. But still, it's part of Alasar, and the Rambam goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Bami Neymar Rav Sheshes. Ma'alif So Zesim Mishabbos. Now, I'll say the Gemara over like Rashi, but it is a little bit difficult according to Rashi, because the Gemara now is going to take even a wider detour from what we've been discussing. Can I bruise olives on Shabbos? Or why would I want to bruise an olive on Shabbos? So Rashi says that the olives have like a certain bitterness to it, and by bruising the olives, it sweetens the olive. Okay? You who are involved in the culinary arts, you'll tell me if this speaks to you. I like olives. I don't know what the Gemara speaks about when it talks about bruising olives, but anyway, that's the way Rashi understands it. And the Gemara wants to know: can I engage in this type of behavior on Shabbos? Now, what's the issue? So this Rashi doesn't really explain. Meaning, what would be the problem with that on Shabbos? Meaning, all I'm doing is just making a particular fruit a little bit sweeter by hitting it against the rocks. So I take a look. It's similar to that. So take a look at Tosfos, fourth Tosfos down on the Amud. Perish bekunchus la hakosam al salim took me rasam umi baye lei e also b'shabbos mishum shavye uchle. Meaning, what I'm doing now is that I'm making it a food. I'm taking what could be viewed as an inedible food, meaning it's too bitter, and by bruising them and sweetening them, so I'm now basically transforming it into a food. I like, Ben, I like your description. It's like Nolan. So can I do that on Shabbos? It's like tikkun mana, if you will. So amar lehu v'chi b'chol mihitiro. Now he says, before you ask me about Shabbos, what about during the week? Meaning, because basically what I'm doing is I'm wasting food by doing that. So mihitiro kasav mishum hefsed ochlin lema pligi d'shmol. Now, perhaps this goes against the ruling of Shmuel. The ruling of Shmuel we've seen already a couple of times. This takes us back to Brachos. The end of Brachos where we saw this. Da'am Shmuel. Oseh Adam kol tzorcho bepas. A person can do whatever he wants when it comes to bread. So Amri peslo meisei hanem meisei. The Gemara says, well, bread's got great staying power. Meaning that if I use bread as, let's say, a paperweight, so that's fine because afterwards I can still eat the bread. But when it comes to the olive and I bruise the olive, so all that juice that goes to waste, meaning I don't get that juice back. So the Gemara is suggesting, no, maybe not. Maybe Shmuel would agree that you're not allowed to bruise the olive. It's not a Shabbos issue, even during the week, because of Hefsed Ochlin, because you are, it's like Baal Tashchis, if you will. Amemar Mazucha V'Ravashi Aviyas V'Aisal Kamei Barda. Okay, three Amoraim sitting together. And they brought Barda. Remember, the Barda is a compound made up of aloe, myrtle, and violets. Amemar V'Ravashi Mashu. Now, Amem and Ravashi, so they washed using this this cleansing agent on Shabbos. Umarzucha Lamashu, and Marzucha did not. Amrule, they said to Marzucha, Lo Savala Mar, Lahad Amr of Shesha, is Bar Deshare. We said it's mutter, it's fine. So Amalu, Ramordechai Barmine, Damar, Dafil Bechol Namilo. He says, no. He says, I know they say no, but I'm quoting in the name of Rav Mordechai that you're not allowed to do that even during the week. Why not? So I'm still bechamin. I'm sorry, bechol nami lo sfer lo sferle savala ki ad tanya. And why not? Can anyone think of a reason why you're not allowed to wash yourself using this type of cleansing agent during the week? Detanya. So get ready for this one. Megara adam gilded soa v'gilde. Maka sha'al b'saro b'shvil sa'aro. But in b'shvil yafos, aser, you have a scab. Now, if it's really painful and you're removing it simply because it's going to be less painful, so that would be okay. But if you're doing so to beautify yourself, that would not be okay. Why not? Please take a look at Rashi. B'shum lo yobash gever simlas isha. Because the Torah says is that what you're doing now is you're behaving like a woman. Meaning that you're plucking a scab off your skin just simply to look better. Okay, that's a man trying to look like a woman. A man is not to beautify himself. And apparently this compound that we discussed earlier, that's a compound that's generally used by women. And so since women use this compound as a cleansing agent, it's a type of really strong astringent that really cleans you out well. Okay, so women use that. And you can't do that because lo silbash, Gever some lasisha that a man's not allowed to wear women's clothing. And take a look at the Sefer Chinuch over there on that mitzvah. The Sefer Chinuch writes, it's clear from many places, it's clear from our Gemara right over here. It doesn't mean just literally that a man's not allowed to wear women's clothing, but it means not that a man's not allowed to behave and beautify himself and adorn himself like a woman would. So the examples that are given are that a man's not allowed to dye his hair, a man's not allowed to pluck out white hairs from his beard. In other words, that's the way a woman behaves. So here now you have another example, meaning a certain cleansing agent that are traditionally used by women. So the Gemara says that's why he wouldn't even do so during the week. The Inu Kamans Savrua. Now the other Amoraim said that's fine. So what's that issue over here? Inu Kamans Savrua Ki Adetanya Rochitz Adam Panav Yada Viraglav Bechol Yom. Bishvil kono, bishem shenamar kol pa'al Hashem lama'aneu. What do you mean? When I wake up in the morning, I wash my hands, my feet, my face. You know why I do it? I do it for God. Now, I do it for God. What does that mean? So, to Rashi writes a kol bara lechvodo. Sorry, no, I'm sorry. Back up one Rashi. Bishvil koneu lechavod konehu. I do it in honor of God. Dechsev ki b'tzelam elokim asa. I am made in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so when I wake up in the morning, I'd like to present myself nicely. I'd like to be clean. And not only that, but I may, I don't know if I can say this about myself, but I may engender a bracha. Because when people see a beautiful creature, a beautiful human being, the bracha you make is shekachalo ba'olamo. In other words, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He made such things in this world. So in other words, it's now difficult to explain the machlokas. So one Amora's viewpoint is that washing yourself with these types of cleansing agents is female-like, it's woman-like. It violates the Yisr of Lo Silbash. And the other opinion, the other Amoraim say no. That presenting yourself in the morning and making yourself presentable in the morning, that's Kol Pa'al Hashem L'Maneu. That's... Correct. Let's do a little bit more. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Amar Kupa Mata Al Tzidah V'Nolto Shema Yito. Okay. I think I'm going to have a change of heart. Yep, I'm going to have a change of heart. Okay, let's not do a little bit more. Let's stop over here at the two dots. Tomorrow, we'll pick it up at the two dots. A little bit more muksa talk for tomorrow. Continuing the discussion.